Peter Isaacson and Eddie's Typhoid Fever. By Edwin Isaacson Whiting. Now I want to relate as nearly as I can the details of when Grandpa administered to me. We had arrived in Mapleton in the fall of 1888, and had moved into one of Uncle Albert's rooms until we could find a place. Uncle Albert had 9 children. 7 more were born later. Dad had 3, so there were 2 families in the 3-room house. I was stricken with typhoid fever. There was quite an epidemic of it at the time, and in general, the doctoring was done by women, who had learned what they could from other midwives, and their ministrations were mostly with home-gathered herbs and folklore ideas. I remember how much I burned. Within a few days, my mouth, throat, and I suppose my stomach, were a mass of sores and blisters. The neighbors crowded in and most all had remedies to offer. However, about the only thing they agreed on was that the only way to cure this fever was to burn it out, to let the body get hot enough to kill it, that water given inwardly, or even put on the face with a damp cloth, fed the fever. One woman said she would as soon give a child poison as water, and named over a list of those who had been given water and then died. She also had a list of those who had won the fight by this burning method. I remember how thirsty I was, how I begged for just a spoonful of water, how Mother sat by my bedside and cried, telling me I must not have water. My cousin, whom they claimed was not as bad as I, died that day. General talk was that there was little or no chance for me. Mother and Dad didn't know much about medicine, but they knew Grandfather's gift for healing and had sent him a letter. Mother kept saying, if only Father would come. Their one hope was for his blessing. By then, I was about burned out. They had figured that if Grandpa started immediately when he got the letter, he could be there in 2 or 3 days, some 80 miles by team and wagon. I pleaded continuously for water. Mother tried to soothe me by telling me to just wait until Grandpa came. He would know what to do, but not to give up until he came. 100 times, she walked to the window and looked up the road, and after nightfall listened for the chuck, chuck of the wagon wheels. Finally she heard them, rushed out crying, and as they came back in I remember her saying, hurry, Father, hurry, or it will be too late. He told her to hush, he must have time to get in touch with the Lord, to get him a wash dish of hot water. Then he sat by me, put his cold hand on my head, and talked to Dad. I remember best how his cool hand felt. Then I remember him telling Dad to give me a spoonful of water. Dad wept as he hurried, proceeded to give me the water, and said he thought it would help, that he had never believed water would hurt me, anyhow. What a wonderful feeling it was to have a spoonful of water. And then the great moment came. With my dad and Uncle Albert joining in, he proceeded in a quiet, matter-of-fact way to talk to the Lord. It seemed like he was talking right to him. It was a long prayer, with a firmness and a faith I still vividly remember. Mother says I slept that night, and that by the next evening, my fever was gone. It is hard to tell you what I felt, but to me, it has been a lifelong guidance. Yes, I have seen other administrations, others' healings, but nothing like that. It has been so sacred to me that with the exception of talks with my mother, I have said little about it. I hope this doesn't sound overdrawn. I have tried to tell it just as it seemed to me. Anytime I feel discouraged, I can get a lift thinking about that wonderful grandfather of mine. Note by Ronald Brown, M.D. As a doctor, I can explain this old belief, which even some doctors held in that era. One of the complications of typhoid fever is perforation of the bowel. When that occurs, anything by mouth increases the peritonitis. No doubt these old-time nurses observed this, and acted accordingly in future cases. We now know that a much worse enemy is dehydration, and we give large quantities of water by mouth, unless there are signs of perforation, when we switch to intravenous fluids.